Welcome to another episode of the Westlife Podcast. I am your host, Josh Barnett. As always, we are sponsored by MG Pump Solutions. And as always, please give us a follow at Westlife Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And support us and take part in the show at patreon.com/Westlife. Our super sub from the Patreon is with us tonight. I'll get to Az in just a bit. But also check out the YouTube channel. Every episode, I know I'm still a little bit slow on the uptake. The episode's taking a little bit longer to get them up on the YouTube compared to on the audio only outlets, but every episode is up there on the YouTube channel now, so please subscribe, and then eventually you'll see our faces on there. One day we'll get our faces actually on there for reals. On the show tonight, so I have my the Robin to my Batman. Which one's Robin, which one's Batman, I don't know. But Rob Bishara, well, you're older, so maybe, I think Batman's older than Robin, so maybe you are Batman.
Thanks, Josh. Good to be here.
And as I said, Patreon OG and super sub, Aaron, how you going, buddy?
Good, thanks, Josh. Happy to be back again. Aaron, ready to rip in again for the team?
Absolutely. Well, the team, our team, the West Tigers, that is, they ripped in Saturday night. I'm sorry, I had a brain melt there. I'm trying to think what day it was. Friday night. Sorry, it's been a long weekend into Monday. So, Friday night, we beat the Chook. Sure, it was a pre-season match. We'll get into the details there a bit later on after the news. But as quickly, what are your quick takeaways from that trial?
The win is going to give the team a bit of confidence that they can at least challenge for the top eight, I think. That was probably the big thing to come out of it. Yeah, they were under strength, but honestly, we were too, a little bit. Maybe not as much as the Roosters with the big names they had out.
No Luke Garner, don't remember that.
No Garner, no Twoll, no Dewey. I think I'm missing someone
Tommy,
as well.
Tommy
no,
Talau.
No Blore.
Blore, obviously, yeah. Obviously, no Blore the whole year, but Tommy Talau, yeah. Yeah, look, obviously not to the caliber. Everyone's like, well, they're not James Tedesco and they're not Luke Keary. But yeah, they're our guys. It doesn't matter. Yeah, sure, our guys aren't Kangaroos, but they're our guys. When you're missing your guys, it's a disadvantage. So you're absolutely right. Rob Bishara, what are your quick takes from Friday? It's always good. Makes you feel good for the weekend, even if it's a trial.
Oh, it certainly does. Look, honestly, too many takes to give you in a sentence or two, but probably one take I took from it was just the intensity we had for the full 80 minutes. Like, even at the end of the game, to stop the clock with 30 seconds left when you're more than a converted try ahead, the game's over, to pack down the scrum, and then for Noffer and Pauga to want to decapitate the Roosters player from the kick with 5 seconds left in the game. That I think that just had years of Roosters beatings written all over it, and it was just great. I just thought it was a great way to finish the game. But yeah, there's so many positives from so many players, in particular players that didn't look good in the first trial, and obviously Hastings' debut, and there's just so many positives. I really loved it, but as you said, it's a trial, and we've harped on the first week being a trial, and it, you know, you can't take much out of it. Well, the Roosters were missing Tedesco, Keary, Warrior Hargraves, Crichton, like, you know, rep standard players. So, you know, it wasn't them at full strength, but you can only beat what you can beat. And we made a lot of errors too. So, you know, we could have even won by more, but we dominated field position. It was just great. It was just a really good win. And it definitely gave me, this is what I'm trying to say, like, I'm not saying I'm going to finish high on the ladder, but that's the sort of hope that I've got for the year. Like, I know the boys can do stuff. It's just a matter of if they can all gel together and you know, put the performances week in, week out.
And playing in that monsoon too, I'm keen to see. Jackson Hastings has just impressed me massively in one game. And I'd like to see, obviously being a halfback in the wet, things he can't do quite as much. I'm keen to see what if Sydney does ever let up this bloody rain that won't go away. But yeah, but we'll move on to the news. We'll talk about the trial in our game recap later on. We'll talk about news first. Let's start with, so just before we came on air, Rob, you told me, I didn't even realize this, I was prepping for the show, Brandon Smith apparently is free to play round one, is that right?
That is correct. So basically what they've done, they've taken the, as you're probably aware, Latrell Mitchell had a game reduced off his sentence because he would have been picked for the All-Stars game. Well, now they've deemed that to be the case with Brandon Smith and for Reece Walsh from New Zealand. So not sure what Reece Walsh's suspension was, but whatever he had owing to him, he gets a week off now based on that. But unfortunately for us, it's just a massive in for Melbourne for round one. Because I really think, you know, it wouldn't have been easy to beat Melbourne anyway, but it certainly would have been a hell of a lot easier without Brandon Smith.
Aaron, do you think this is bullshit, essentially?
I think it's an absolute crock of shit, pretty much. You can kind of get it for on-field indiscretions, but I feel like with the off-field indiscretions, especially if the suspension is club-imposed, then the suspension should extend to a club match regardless.
Mm. Yeah, it was a cocaine incident, wasn't it? That's the whole issue?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. The hotel room incident.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... I don't know. It's one of those things, too. Is it consistent? Is the next guy that goes out and does something similar, is he going to say, well, kind of the same premise? I mean, in the future, I think maybe the fine... I reckon just give him... huge monetary, because at the end of the day, the NRL wants their star players playing, especially round one, like to take a star. It costs them, essentially. Their product is lesser for suspending the stars of the show. So I think you just got to give them massive monetary fines for stuff like this. Like, just give them absolutely, like, fine him, make it the most expensive line he's ever bought. Like,
I don't think it should matter, Josh. I don't think, like, to give you a silly example, I'm not saying so much a silly example, but if Tedesco got suspended before Origin, you can't say, oh, he would have played Origin. He's not eligible to be selected for Origin.
Oh, the messiness of this, I'm not denying, absolutely.
They've stuffed it up. Like Latrell should have done his full term, and so should these two guys. They've opened a can of worms. So I just think if you're suspended, even if you know that Latrell Mitchell would have been the first player picked for the Aboriginal All-Stars, you know, he couldn't get picked because he was suspended. So tough luck. So they've just stuffed it all up. I just think, like I said, they've opened a can of worms and it's never been allowed.
I think it's absolutely...
And as usual, we're going to pay for it.
Yeah, I think it's absolute bullshit that they've gone back on what... I'm just saying in the future, like maybe to make it consistent, just give them a massive percentage. It's 10% of your yearly wage. Gone, like, just that. I mean, that could be $100,000 for him next contract. So, I think that hurts them, but doesn't hurt the product. So, be as it may,
it has gone and opened a very dangerous can of worms. I reckon, though, there's a very dangerous precedent's been set.
Yeah, players will continue to do it, and they'll think they won't get caught. So, but they were stupid enough to put a mobile phone in the room when they were doing it, I guess. But on to on-field stuff. So Jimmy Tarmow, he took the early guilty plea 1 week. We'll talk about that in the incident itself when we get to the game review. We didn't talk about last week, Fanua Pol from Manly, young kid, a young centre, apparently. I don't know too much about him. Rob, do you know much about this kid that we've signed? I believe he'll be 18 years of age next year when he gets here.
Yeah, only what I've read on, in the reports, that like he was a bit of a try-scoring freak, scored 6 tries in 1 game. But obviously Sheens and Carl have identified, you know, centre's going to be a bit of an issue for us. Mm. So, you know, he's obviously not going to be the answer in the next year or two, but, you know, it's someone they're obviously looking to build our sense of future on. So, it's a good signing.
Aaron, do you know much about this kid?
No, I don't know anything about him. To be honest, I actually hadn't even heard of him. I saw a post from a Twitter fan from an Eagles fan on Twitter saying how big of a loss he is, and I'm like, oh, this kid must go all right then.
Yeah, okay. It might be nice to us to poach a star. I mean, which we have. We've poached plenty. We seem to be the only club that gets bagged out for giving away young talent like the South's halfback. They're already talking about West Tigers letting another one go.
Oh, Ilias.
Yeah.
Yeah, good to get one back on Manly anyway. They pinched Taniela Pasoka when he was going gangbusters in the juniors. So.
Mm. It happens. So, yeah, it's who's gonna throw money at these kids and take a risk on them, give them the big paycheck first. So, yeah, look forward to seeing him in coming years. Now, the big one from today, I got a message from a friend, shouts to a friend of the show, Kelly. She messaged me today. She says, because we were looking at buying tickets for the Easter game against Parramatta at CommBank Stadium, and she says they've actually shut out all tickets. You have to buy it. You have to be a Parramatta member or buy a membership to get into this game. So essentially, the cheapest ticket you can get is $50 for a ticket, and it's a Parramatta Eels membership. So you get stuck with a Parramatta Eels membership pack. Pushes their membership numbers. I know we've done one game memberships in the past. That doesn't worry me too much. I just think it's just so wrong that the game. I got into a lot of arguments on Twitter with a lot of Eagles fans, and they said it's their home game and it's within their right. I know, Rob, off air, you were saying something similar. It is. I just think this Easter game should always be, and I'm happy for it to be our home game and us to make it our home game at what's now called a core stadium, so Stadium Australia. And it's just the tradition of Easter, Good Friday, it's Dogs v. South. On Monday, it's Tigers v. Eels. The Easter show's on next door. It's just become, there's just not enough product in rugby league. Like, we get bagged out by AFL fans that our attendances are low, and we always, like, rugby league fans don't go to games. These two games and Anzac Day are like the big draw cards, the days we actually fill the stadiums and the spectacles and some of the best. It's beyond like, home ground advantage and this sort of thing. It's become more than that. Like, I'd use the example today on Anzac Day. There's no way the Dragons would take Anzac Day down to Wollongong and then say, it's members only. Like, you got to get a Dragons membership to get in.
100%.
So I just think this Easter, I missed the first Bankwest game was Easter 2019. I was overseas for that, thank God, and missed that one. That's the only Easter game I've missed since, I think it's 8 or 9 years we've been playing them Easter Monday. And they've always just been at ANZ Stadium. Just massive crowds, massive, really good atmosphere. The games seem to always be close. It's just become, and then the dog. I know Bulldogs and Rabbitohs, even those teams aren't going well. Like it's become a real tradition for Good Friday as well. I just think it has to be at the biggest stadium and have the biggest crowd. Like, and just every single, like, it's the one game that. Those West Tigers and Parramatta Eels fans that might only go to one game a year, it's that game that they go to. And you're going to get a lot of NRL, a lot of those fans that obviously can't go. And it's, yes, Parramatta are going to probably have 99% of the crowd. I've got my ticket. Luckily, I snapped mine up today. So hopefully, if we win that, it could be... yeah, I might need a bodyguard or something, but it'd be pretty sweet if we do win. I don't think we will, but who knows? Who knows on the day? But to get back on the point, I just think, yeah, like these traditions, like Anzac Day is the best rugby league game of the regular season, and it's because it's become a tradition. Roosters v Dragons. I know AFL have it with Collingwood. Is it Carlton and Essendon AFL?
No, Collingwood Essendon.
Collingwood Essendon. They've got, like, you got to make the regular season's 20. We play 24 freaking games. There's got to be these like games in the season when they like later in the year the semi-finals anticipation kind of builds the importance in these games. Earlier in the year, in the mid-year, you got to have these traditional big stadium, big atmosphere, like talked about games. Like, it just annoys me that it's just going to be a Parramatta wank fest this year. And I'm just annoyed because it's my most forward looking to. That doesn't really not very good English there. It's the game I look most forward to. It's a game I most look forward to every year is playing because it's just a great day. It's just a great day out. You go to the Easter show and you go to the footy and then you come out and you watch the fireworks. Just, I don't know, maybe I'm...
No, Josh, a couple of things on that. Yeah. Firstly, you're right about the crowds we've pulled there. Don't forget, too, the crowds we've pulled at ANZ or whatever you want to call it these days, it was 40,000 to 50,000 when both our teams weren't coming anywhere near the top eight.
Exactly.
Like, we pull good crowds when we're going bad, and Power's going well now, even though we haven't been. The other thing, too, like, why did the game get moved originally? Like, if it had been sort of classified by the NRL, it's got to stay at Homebush, then we wouldn't have this issue. Like, as you alluded to, I agree with Power doing whatever they want to do. If it's their home game, they care about the two competition points, if they feel they can get their full home crowd. Like, it's not in the best interest of the game. If they love the game or cared about the game, they'd move it to Homebush. But this is where the NRL should step in and say, hey, you idiots, like, I know you've got, your catering commitments and all that, but, like, you guys can get 60 or 70,000 here. It's still your home game. You know, we get more fans in here. They should actually have a directive put on them to move the game. You know, if they know they're going to be sold out from February for this game later on, like, it's just a no-brainer not to move it. But, as I've, said to you off-air, like, we had the chance to keep our home semi-final at Leichhardt. We moved it to SFS when we played the Roosters in 2010, and that's probably one of the greatest games ever. We ended up losing it. Now, had we kept it at Leichhardt, probably a third of the people would have got to watch it, and we might have won the game. So I don't know what's right. Like, I just know the right thing by the game is to move it. But, unless the NRL come in and say something, Power's got the right to be, act like a bunch of dogs if that's what they want to choose.
Yep. Aaron, how do you feel?
The exact same reason why we moved the game last year, because so many fans were locked out of footy all through 2020. So
exactly.
The club decided to take the game to Homebush to allow a bigger crowd in. I think we got, 35,000 or something like that, which was the biggest crowd of the season at that point, and stayed that way until Origin or something. So we drew a crowd, and I just went back and I looked for the first Easter Monday clash we had, the first time it became, I guess, a tradition. I think it was 2014, and we pulled a crowd of 50,000 for that game. It wasn't the Eels' home game, but it was. It makes the most sense to move it, but
that's the thing. The Eels have played home games in this game before. It's not like it's the first time the Eels have taken their home game away from Para.
There's no goodwill content too, Josh. There's no, like, we took our home game to their stadium. Like, we've done the complete opposite.
Yeah.
So it shows you where the two clubs stand in terms of winning and losing. Like, Pascoe's worried about gate money and Parramatta's just worried about winning the comp. Because let's face it, this year's their window ends this year. They've got a great team. If they don't win it this year, they're not winning it next year.
Yeah.
They're losing a bunch of players. I mean, so they're intent on winning it.
They got over 30,000. I mean, I know, like, membership, some people don't see the importance in getting a membership, but if we had 30,000 members, we could do this kind of shit ourselves. Like, just have enough. If we had enough season tickets to just lock out Leichhardt Oval and that sort of thing and be selfish like this, but we haven't. We've only got 20,000. And the Eels fans all come on and go, oh, you've only got 20. Like, it's just, if you haven't got a membership, like, it's just these sort of things. If we have 30,000 members, maybe our club will go, you know what, we've got 30,000 ticketed members. We're guaranteed, that means we've got it's hard because of the split grounds, but if the club knows that they've already got 12,000 season ticket holders for these games as a base, and then they've only got to sell another 6,000 for the suburban grounds, and they're almost shutting the gates, then we will get them. So, I mean, get a membership. It's just another reason to just get a membership and support the club and help the club financially so we don't have to take the cash like Pasco does, as Rob just said then. So, it's just the cost of the ticket. Like, they're charging $50 a ticket. You could have it at ANZ Stadium and you could charge $50 for a whole family and just fill the stadium. Like, it's just, I'm all for supply and demand. I'm not a person that you charge. I mean, in American sports, they charge if your NBA team plays against the Lakers, your tickets are going to go up five times to what you're playing if you're playing against the bloody Minnesota Timberwolves. Like, it's just that happens over there, whereas over here, our tickets are pretty. Doesn't matter who you're playing, or the demand of the tickets, the ticket price is the ticket price. But the Eels have kind of snuck their way to do this. They've upped the price dramatically, and locking all the working class families out. But a lot of Eels fans trolling us today did have a good point. They got 30,000 members, so they have the ability to kind of know they can do that, I guess. So.
My question is, how many of those 30,000 are ticketed? That's not the point. If they've got 30,000 members, then like no away fan should ever be able to get a ticket at their home game. Ever. Mm. They should lock us out of every game.
How many of those are ticketed too? They're not. Like,
but do you know what I'm saying? Like, why just the Easter game? Why just the Easter game where we can't? Like, it should be for all their home games. So they've got the same amount of members every week, don't they?
Mm.
It's just they're not doing the right thing by the game. But like I said, it's their right to do it. And if they want to do it, you know, hopefully karma will bite them in the ass.
I mean, a lot of them say, though, we wanted, when we got a new stadium, we wanted all 11 home. It's one game. I think Penrith, they're doing it for Penrith as well. And a lot of them said, well, why aren't you getting upset about Penrith? And I do feel for Panthers fans then. But this is Easter. Like, the Easter Monday is a traditional game that, like, brings together. It's more than home ground advantage. That's my point. That's none of the Eels fans on Twitter, nor I expect them to. They're not the easiest fan base to interact with sometimes. But just it's beyond just being a home and away game. It's become a and someone said to me on Twitter, they go, oh, it's only been going for 8 years. Yes, traditions start in that shorter time. That's a tradition. Like, if you get to, like, if you had 8 birthdays, you're pretty used to birthdays by now. Like, it's become a really, like, significant game in the regular season. And we can't, as a league, we can't deny having these. And like you said, Rob, the league are going to step in and do something about it and make sure we have these marquee games to show off to, like,
they have to, because you think about it, you correct me if I'm wrong, if we get the crowd we'd expect to get if it was at ANZ, between 50 and 60,000, name me a home game that gets that crowd in the whole year. Of course, Anzac Day...
Only Anzac Day, but...
They don't get 50,000.
Well, they fill the SFS,
Okay, but SFS is like a 40,000.
40,
So, like, we literally get the biggest regular crowd for the year, and Parramatta just saying, no chance.
Aaron, go with your point. I think because I was at the Anzac Day, they did have one Anzac Day in 2008 or something. Let me just check that up and see how much they had for that. But Aaron, what were you going to say? Sorry, Rob and I going off and cut you off.
I was just questioning like how many of their 30,000 members are actually ticketed,
which
you mentioned afterwards. But yeah, I also noticed you were talking to Burgo on Twitter as well. She was commenting on your post and said, the Dragons wouldn't ever do something like that for an Anzac Day game. Yeah. So,
yeah, obviously she wants to be able to take Lockie. Hopefully, if Lockie's not there, then I'll be annoyed. Like, he has to go to every game. It's not the same. It's not a West Tigers game if Lockie's not there. But yeah, she's a Dragons fan, with a little bit of Tigers on the side for Lockie. And she said, she agreed with me. And the Dragons wouldn't do that. Wouldn't take it to Wollongong for Anzac Day. Like, it's just. Absolutely.
I don't think any away crowd has ever been shut out of a regular season game.
Well, someone
the article I saw said it's a first. So
I was going to say, like, that's typical for us. We always cop the raw end of first decisions, don't we?
Apparently, the Benji field goal. One of the Eels fans dropped a link to 2012 round one when Benji kicked that field goal. Apparently, we did something similar, but it was literally like a week, or two before the game, not 2 months. So it was like really close.
What did we do? Sorry.
We did this membership. Basically, there was like 1,000 tickets left, and they said if you buy a membership, it's sold out unless you buy a membership.
Yeah, but that's when there's 1,000 tickets left.
Yeah, it was pre-season, but it was like a week before round one. It wasn't 8 weeks or whatever we have to go.
anyway.
Righto, rant over. Let's talk about
massive rant.
It's just these the kind of things. At the end of the day, like West Tigers winning to me is number one. Like nothing in the world other than my family is really more important to me than the West Tigers winning rugby league games. But I also try to look at like the NRL. Like it's a business, and you kind of just got to have your business cap on with these sort of things, and not just a business cap, but like an overall league fan sort of appreciation of it. And rather, it's just to deny like fans in a league that gets so much shit put on it for not getting crowds, and it could be, like you said, the biggest crowd, but. At the risk I'll keep repeating myself and getting angry again, let's talk about we beat the Sydney Roosters in a trial on the weekend. A few game notes, and I'll throw to you boys as we go through. So the first note I have, because it was so early in the game, the James Tarmel tackle. He took the legs out of the Roosters halfback. Aaron, I reckon he's pretty lucky getting 1 week for this. What do you reckon?
I 100% agree. I think he was. I thought seeing it live, I reckon he was looking at like 3 weeks.
Yeah, me too.
Then I saw he got one, and I was like, okay,
yeah,
lucky you.
Yeah, you just can't chop knees of guys anymore. If you're going to tackle a kicker, you take him high and hold him and cuddle him. You can't be, there's too many ACL injuries, and us West Tigers fans know what ACL injuries are like, so you don't want to see anything of the like in the game. Would you agree, Rob, that 1 week we've got off, Jimmy's got off easy here?
Yeah, he got off lightly. I just think it was a bit of a brain fade. It looks worse, too, with the fact that Walker's, like, jumping in the air as he kicks it, so he gets a bit higher.
Yeah.
He literally goes over the top of Tarmo. Mm. But and look, they've got to protect these tackles, but you know, they have made a lot of these rules in favour of the attackers, because not that it's probably going to happen in that instance, but what happens when the kicker throws a dummy and runs? You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like, that split
second.
You just
don't know
decision.
When to commit, when not to commit, but that was definitely late, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Look, he got off with 1 week, and you know, I guess we can, you know, consider that lucky, to be honest.
Yeah.
My thought watching it live was that maybe he didn't expect the kick to come because it was their first it was their first set, and I think it was on like fourth or fifth tackle or something. So
yeah
it looked like it looked like it was about 40 out. It was 40 meters out from their own line, from memory, just sort of closer to the near sideline. But yeah, it was just I just think it was a late. His timing was just all off, which is why we have trials.
One thing is on his side is it's not Jimmy Tarmel's go. He's not a grubby player. So I mean, if it was a Russell Packer or something, I think they definitely would have got. Sorry, that was the first player that came to my head. But yeah, I think Jimmy's clean record has obviously gotten him on the lighter side there. So not long after that, the Roosters scored down our left side. Dan Ganane in commentary, I did have the commentary on for this part. He says, ominous signs early here for the West Tigers, and I don't know about you boys, but I was thinking, oh, it's going to be the same old shit again. Gildart, the new centre, he got sucked in by an inside runner, and then basically Kenny's left out on the wing. It's 3-on-1, and then our old mate Paul Mavrovsky scores pretty easily. Rob, were you pretty worried at this stage that it's going to be more of the same?
Wasn't worried really about the game so much, but it was just more the fact that Gildart's an international centre, and I thought, gee, he just let that hole open up too easily.
Yeah.
I know we were outnumbered, but he just looked all lost at sea, and he was like, I don't know what I'm going to do here. I'm just going to charge in. So, you know, from a defensive point of view, I just thought, you know, it was really poor from Gildart. But, you know, he did a lot in attack that kind of made up for it later in the game. But we're definitely going to have to fix our goal line defence, because that's just coming too easy. It really is. Those sort of tries where they just throw it, you know, in their hands and score in the corner. Like, we couldn't do that against the Roosters all game. When we tried to get outside them, their wingers seemed to hold their wings and you know, it's just very hard to get around the Roosters or the good teams.
Mm.
So I think we've just got to work on our goal line defence.
Oh, we've needed to for years. But watching it back, I didn't think he charged in. He follows. There was a guy coming back inside, obviously as a decoy, but he follows him, but he doesn't need to because our defenders coming across were covering. It was just a weird brain melt by Oliver.
Yeah, it really was. He panicked.
Mm.
He panicked.
So 8 minutes in, Kelma Tuilagi makes a good run. I've noted down here, but then he drops the play the ball. But Aaron, I know Shane's a big fan of Kelma Tuilagi, as Rob and I, but are you keen, even though we're losing him next year, thinking he's going to be a bit of a stalwart for us this year?
Yeah, him and Luch, I think, are both going to be really good for us this year. Disappointed that we're losing Luch as well, but have we actually seen anything official about Kelma leaving?
Rob said this the other day. I don't think I think you said this last episode, Rob. We actually haven't, correct, have we?
No, we haven't. I mean, Peter Peters announced it on his sports show probably a month ago or thereabouts. But, yeah, nothing official has been said. So, you know, let's see what happens anyway. He's a talent.
Mm.
It's interesting then because I thought there's a 2 to 4 week cooling down period where the player can get out of their contract or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's 5 days or something.
That's if he signed, but I've never seen
that would have passed.
Official announcement.
Yeah.
Yeah. Normally Manly would have announced it at the very least.
Yeah. A minute later, I've noted this down. So there's a kid in the crowd. I don't know if you watched the game, didn't you, Rob? Did you see the kid in the Raiders jersey? He's got the sickest mullet ever. So he's literally got long blonde hair at the back, and complete zero towards the front. Aaron, I'm from the Central Coast. This game was on the Central Coast. Is this how Sydney people see Central Coast people? Is this how you guys think of us?
Well, I'm not a Sydney person. But,
oh no, you're not, are you? Yeah, you're a country folk, you're a country boy as well, aren't you? Well, not that the Central Coast is really country, but do you, when you think Central Coast, do you think this kind of stuff?
Honestly, no, I don't. I haven't really seen too much of the mullets beforehand, other than Mahe, who had quite a spectacular one.
Mm.
My boss, though, at work, he has a mullet, and I showed him a picture of that kid at the game and said, "This kid puts yours to shame, mate." It was just a great conversation to have.
It's, you see it a lot, obviously, a bit more in Western Sydney than towards the snobs of the East. But, Rob, have you ever had a mullet, Rob? You might be old enough to have had one when they were in fashion.
I actually did. We won't go there. I did.
Everyone had one in the 80s. My dad had a curly mullet. Yeah, like an afro-y sort of.
I had the long hair going and everything, yeah.
We're going to have to see something for it eventually, Rob, I reckon.
Yeah, one day.
So everyone can expect that Instagram. At Westlife Pod on Instagram, we'll put up that photo. Not long after that, Hastings, he put in like a good little slips catch off a grubber kick. So I noted that down. Just like, it just shows that he's got that instinct, that hustle. Just is into the game, if that sort of makes sense. Rob, like, he's one of those players that just win at all costs. Even in a trial, he just throws his body, has his full focus on the game. Have you noticed that with him?
When you get onto some of the other points later, like, I'll be able to mention, I don't want to jump ahead, obviously, but he did so many different things the other night that actually really impressed me. And one of the ones, which probably won't be a highlight, was when he did a show and go in the second half, and he literally carried four blokes almost over the line. So not only has he got the deft touch with the kicking, some of the passing, which we'll talk about later, his backing up, his direction, he's a good player.
Mm.
He's a good player. He showed a lot more the other night than I thought he had, to be honest. So I'm really impressed and really excited about him.
Yep. Not long after that, so a bit of, there was hints of 2005, just throwing the ball around the offloads and that sort of thing, and that wet weather. Aaron, do you think with the Sheens factor, we talked about a little bit of this last week, but do you think Sheens is bringing back the West Tigers of old, of a bit more second phase play and throwing the offloads a bit more?
I'd say maybe he has. Like that set that you're referencing, that was fun to watch.
Mm.
Even though we ended it with, I think, a forward pass or something. But the flair, I think that's definitely something that the old boys around the club have been saying to the new generation, go out there, play what you see. Don't be afraid to throw the ball around. Because I think one of the things that in an article, someone was having a chat with Sheensy, he wants players to try. He doesn't mind seeing them fail as long as they fail
yep.
by trying.
That's always been his mantra, hasn't it?
Nothing. Yeah.
I think that's Luke Brooks's issue too. I think it's just got to the point that he's... I noted it later in the game, but it's kind of a general thought. So I am fast-forwarding and I suppose out of structure.
Well, there was you're talking about Brooks, Josh. There was one break that Brooks ended up getting tackled where Gildart darted from dummy half,
yep.
popped the ball to Dane Laurie, who then popped the ball to Brooks. Like yep. those two passes from Gildart and Laurie, Tiger players don't normally try those.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? They were like 50-50 passes, but it was just exciting to watch. And just the fact that, you know, Laurie sniffing up the middle, you know, ready to back up, and then Brooksy was on the back of that.
Yeah.
Like, when he made that break, like, I was kind of jumped out of my seat, even though it's a freaking trial. I'm like, wow, this is good stuff.
That was just before halftime. That kind of... We can go straight to that because it kind of flows with what we're talking about now. It has that hint of 2005 when you had even the front rowers throwing passes, like, and it looked like Stefano, like, even threw a few passes, like he sets up the try
to Musgrove.
So maybe there is something to the Sheens factor, or maybe it's Madge. Maybe we're giving Sheens all the credit. Maybe Madge is also a part of it as well. We won't know, but a couple of notes back to back. A few times during the game, Luciano's offload, he's just creating so much. So there was one point where he sent James Roberts down the sideline. It's just, he's creating so much with those offloads. We already talked a little bit about Luch, but Rob, I said it last week, are we just going to keep going through this season and go, why did we let him go? Why didn't we let him go? We keep telling ourselves, no, we shouldn't have paid him that much. But
I don't think his form in the latter half of last year justified the money that he's asking, to be brutally honest. If you went off his form the year before and how he started last year, I would have said yes. Like the desperation he shows sometimes in chasing and defence and stuff like that. I know people say, well, hang on, he missed two easy tackles last week. Even though he was great with the ball, he let a couple of blokes through. Like, you know, the infamous South Sydney finish where Luke Brooks ran 100 metres the other way. Like, the way Luciano tried to tackle Burgess before the trial, he had no hope of getting him, and he almost pulled off a miracle tackle. So I've never questioned Luciano's effort or anything like that, but his game the other night was amazing. Like, I just thought he was fantastic. We just need him to bring that to the real stuff, that's all.
Aaron, the amount of times he carried... 2 to 3 defenders with him for about 10 yep. metres as well, just giving us that advantage in the field position was really,
but
really good.
Even his try, he's pointing to Jock Madden where to kick the ball. You know, Jock Madden didn't do that off the top of his head. He was pointing like, mate, it's on. And he's pointing to the right-hand goalpost as you're looking at it, and he puts it there and he scores.
And that sort of hustle, again, late in a preseason game, it's just, you love to see that. So
exactly.
It's good to see as well that he's committed to the club before he heads to the Cowboys. You see a lot of players who honestly try to get out of their contracts early. We saw it with Moses. But it was really refreshing to me to see that he isn't going to just shut up shop and he's actually ready to rip in and try to bring the team back to the top 8 before he goes.
Yeah, well, to his credit, he never wanted to leave the club. It just became not just a monetary issue. He never got word back from the club. Like, his manager had rung the club quite a few times, and his manager's told me, he goes, I never got a call back till it was too late, till a couple of weeks after Sheensy arrived.
Yeah, that's annoying.
He said they just kept putting me on hold. And he goes, they basically fobbed me off because my starting point was too high. But he said, you know, in any negotiation, you have a starting point and you normally get counter offers. He goes, I never heard anything from the Tigers.
Yeah, so, that's worrying. Because it is a bit worrying. It makes you think he's got to move all the way to North Queensland. He maybe could have shaved 100K or so off it and stayed. You never know. You might as well. Why not have a go? But anyway, yeah, we're talking about trial form here. So, but yeah, just I think he's in for a good season. As Aaron says, the fact that he's still putting in for us. It annoys me seeing comments, mainly anything the West Tigers post, a picture of Luciano and people saying, oh, send him away now. It's like, no, A, he's contracted to us. Why would we let a good talented player go? But he took the money. Like, you can't deny a footballer taking... If someone pays overs for you, you freaking take it. And you can't deny and say, no, I'm going to... Like, I've only got 10 years, or you're lucky to have 10 years in the NRL, and you're going to knock back, what did the Cowboys offer him? 800K or something per year. So, best of luck to him. He's not going to be a player that I'll be, like, despising when he leaves, I don't think. Maybe I will. Who knows? But
we're getting a pretty good replacement for him, though. So
yeah, that's true.
We've got that going for us.
I know, but they had both. You always think, oh, what if we had both? But you can't have them all unless you're the Roosters paying with paper bags. But the 49th minute, we'll jump to the second half because we kind of went through all the other points I had. We'll talk about the try. We'll talk about Zane Musgrove's try. I was quite happy that he scored it because he coughed the ball up. We had all that possessions. I timed it. It was about 6 minutes we had the ball for on the game clock. In the Roosters 20, then Zane Musgrove coughs it up pretty easily. But then, not long after that, he scores a try. But in that set, not to put a negative on a positive, but Jackson Hastings is the one that really takes control in this set. I watched that set over again before we score the try, and Hastings is touching the ball almost every tackle. And Luke Brooks is kind of just loitering around a little bit. So it's just concerning as a trial. But, man, if he wants to, I don't know. Is Brooksy really, like, is his head in the game? It's only a trial. Like I said, it's only a trial. But, how did you rate Brooksy's game? We'll go Aaron. You go first.
I didn't think he played all that terribly. I saw a lot of posts on both Twitter and Facebook saying he played like absolute crap, but I'm inclined to disagree. His kicking game wasn't all that great, like it most of the time isn't, but he actually started to grub a kick a little bit, which is something that he hasn't really been doing, and it's a much more effective way to get the dropouts. And everything. Yeah. He ran the ball a lot as well, which I was really pleased to see. And I just think the more he does that as the season progresses, the better he'll get, the more damaging he'll be for opposition defenses, and the more he'll start putting doubt into the opposition about what he's actually going to do. Like, do they rush up to block his kick, or is he going to jink and go around them? I think if he runs a bit more throughout the year, then it'll start paying more dividends as the season goes on.
Rob, how did you rate Brooksy's game?
Yeah, pretty much what Aaron said. Some of his kicks were good, some weren't. I think it's a good thing at times that he does take a backseat, Josh, like you were mentioning about that set where Hastings had his hands, you know, basically on every tackle. I think that's a good thing. I think that's knowing your role. I think that's just like saying, well, you know what, I don't have to be involved in every play. My input's going to be quality, not quantity. And on that try for Musgrove, who, by the way, I thought Musgrove played himself into our 17. I know he made a couple of errors, but he did some really good, strong runs, and he was taking a hell of a lot of tackling. So I think Musgrove will definitely be there for week one. But that try for Musgrove, I don't know if you remember, Hastings gets a dummy half, and you see him pointing to Stefano, like, to just run there, and he's, like, literally pointing with his finger, like, come close, come close, and literally all the Roosters defenders jammed in, and then he gives it to Stefano, and then the holders open up right next to him, and he passes it to Musgrove. Like, that was just Jackson Hastings. That's what I mean. Like, the guy's got a brain. He's got a footy brain. He's a good schemer, and it's something we've been missing. So I just think Brooksy's going to have to take a more of a backseat role, and like I said last week, if Hastings can do more of that game management stuff, it's better for Brooksy because he's not a game manager.
Yep.
Hastings is one of those students of the game I'm seeing. You see his posts on Twitter all the time. He's watching other games. He's commenting on other things. Like, he's watching the Super League. He was watching the NRLW over the weekend. And he's watching everything, and he's taking a lot from it. And obviously he's applying that to his own game. And the time over in the Super League's obviously done him some real good. And I'm just so keen to see what he can do for us.
Yep.
Like Rob was saying earlier, preferably on a dry track.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
He's that one spark of hope that we have for this season. We don't have much. Obviously, the three of us did the season predictions, and none of us are really high on what this team can do this year, but Jackson Hastings, he's a little glimmer of hope that he can turn us from, a side that is middle, like not in eight contention, and then all of a sudden we're starting to get a bit of confidence and getting on a roll and win three games in a row. Like, I don't know. He's been very impressive. So, very excited to see what he comes up with. Speaking of Jackson, the 49th minute when he was chopped at the knees by Lindsay Collins, all I just said about all our, like, how excited we are for this season, I felt sick until I knew Jackson Hastings was okay. Like, man, we finally got Big Shane back interested in the West Tigers because of this kid, and like to have him literally chopped at the knees. If he had done his ACL, I don't want to say I would have put a hit out on Lizzie Collins because I probably can't afford to, but I think we could have done a GoFundMe to do something like that. But in all seriousness, Aaron, like, absolute, you can't deny that it was an absolute dog act by Lindsay Collins.
Oh, that was terrible, because there were already two blokes had him wrapped up. He was also facing the Roosters try line, so he did not see Collins coming behind him. And watching the replay, and when they slowed it down, just seeing the way his knee buckled, I was horrified.
Yeah.
I was absolutely horrified. I thought, oh, crap, that is not looking good.
Yeah, Rob, how did you feel at that moment?
I'll be honest, if something serious had happened from that tackle, it would have taken me a month to get over that. And I mean that. Like, you know, we're pinning so much faith in him, and especially while Adam Leahy's out, we've got no depth in that area, really.
Yeah.
It just would have been huge for him to go down in his first game in a freaking trial. So
that's
why I've always said, you know, as long as the guys just build up some match fitness and some combinations and don't get injured, that's all you really want out of a trial. Like, you know, some other teams like Manly or what have you, they've copped a few injuries course of trials. So, you know, the fact that everyone's reasonably healthy, I think we've done well.
So
I wasn't watching the Manly game that we played against them at Suncorp last year where Aloyer did a cannonball tackle. Did it look pretty similar to that one?
I thought this was worse because Collins could see that Hastings was held.
Yeah, he was stopped.
It was a dog shot. It really was a dog shot. And the problem with the NRL is hypothetically, if Jackson Hastings had a season-ending injury, Collins would have had the book thrown at him. He would have got 6 to 8 weeks. But because nothing happened to him, he just gets a fine. Like, it's just a flawed system. It's a flawed system.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, your suspension shouldn't be down to the strength of ligaments of your opposition player. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, he's just weakening them for the next time something like that happens.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you don't know. That's a good question. You mentioned NRL physio. That's not a bad question to ask him. Can you get, can you get a microscopic tear that kind of leads to
something
later?
Bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not long after, though, you already mentioned Jock Madden's kick to Luciano Leilua. We've already Talked a lot about Luch. Jock Madden, how did you feel he played, Rob?
You only got limited minutes. Yeah, no, I thought for the minutes he was on, he played really well. Like my big problem with Jock is he up to it, you know, defensively. Like, I've never questioned what he can do with the ball or his game management or his smarts. He's got it all. But, you know, just defensively, is he big enough to handle, you know, guys running at him for 80 minutes? And that's a really big concern for me. But he played well. So he did what was asked of him.
Aaron, what do you think of Jock?
I was really impressed by Jock with the minutes he played. But, yeah, his issue is he up to it? Can he play the long minutes if he's called on? Do we think he might be the 14 for round one?
I hope not.
With Lids out?
It's a chance, though, but I hope not.
It'll probably... Where's Peachy going to play?
13? Or maybe Joffa will play 13? Yeah, maybe it'll be between those two. One of them will play 13, the other will play 14.
Yeah. I'd probably go... I'd like a hooker on the bench. I know you're the same, Rob.
I am, but that brings us now into having Rua on the bench, doesn't it? If we have Rua and... How do you pronounce his surname? Anyway, but Rua and Peachy... We put both them there. We've got two light a bench.
Sorry, I meant Peach, because Peachy can play a bit of hooker. So,
you're saying Peachy?
Yeah, he's kind of like
hooker.
A makeshift.
Yeah, well, that's most likely. That's most likely the way we'll go now. Yeah. I can't see the kid getting a run. No offense to him.
And then our other try, big. It was pretty cool seeing Big Red Alex Seathoff get over. He again had limited minutes as well. He kind of seems a little bit. Out of the rotation, Aaron, but do you rate Alex Seathoff?
Oh, I love watching Big Red play. Mm. I really hope he gets some good minutes through the year. I was sitting here and I just applauded that try. It was a beautiful pass by Hastings, and Big Red just sniffing around, ready to pounce on it, just dove straight through.
Rob, I know you're a big fan of him as well.
Yeah, he won me over last year in Magic Round. I thought that the game he had that night was just amazing. That try that you're talking about now, like the deftness from the subtlety from Hastings, you know, like he shaped out the back, you know, kind of with a no look to Laurie and then went short to Seyfarth. It was just beautiful. So that's what like I said, Hastings, you know, in one instant he can take four guys over the line, you know, try and score a try, and then he's doing these subtle passes. So. Yeah, it was a really good try, and it was just nice to kind of nail the Roosters. I just love that. I know it's a trial, but it was beautiful.
So to finish off, I'll just go through the team list. Who we left out? Jimmy Roberts, Rob. So I thought he had a pretty solid game. I'm putting that to you because you're obviously pretty critical of him in the past. Is he one you over?
Very,
a little
very
bit?
Critical. Mm. Very critical. Probably it's actually sad that I think it's the best game he's ever played for us. I actually think he was that good, but I mean, will he bring it to NRL games? Will he be up to it defensively? You know, I think that's our big weakness, Jimmy Roberts and Gildart defensively positionally in defence. That's going to be a big issue for us. But I thought Roberts played great. And if he could play like that all the time, he'd nail down that spot. So yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised by what he did. Like, I mean, I didn't think he should have even been renewed, et cetera, but on what he showed the other night, I mean, good on him. I thought he played really well.
Aaron, do you think Gildart Roberts, that'll be our centres, round one?
I'm not sure. Is Talau injured to start the season?
Yeah, he's got a little...
Yeah, Talau's out indefinitely.
Yeah. Oh, right, yeah, then he probably will
he's
be.
A wild,
yeah. I was thinking it would come down to Gildart on one side and either Talau or Roberts on the other, but yeah, I'd say Roberts will definitely be there. For round one, in that case.
And were you guys impressed with Gildart? Because I thought Gildart was sensational.
Yeah, on attack, he obviously...
He looked dangerous.
Yeah, he just seems to have that, yeah, little bit of an X factor about him.
Yeah,
so,
that was exciting.
If he can get his communication, his defensive lapses don't happen, I think he can... Yeah, I said on the show last week, You just need the centres to be that kind of Blake Ashford level where they just do their job. So I think, if you can make those simple plays, like a draw and pass to his winger to score, and just not make defensive errors and make those breaks and offloads like he did. That he only needs to do a couple of good plays per game, and I think he's more than capable of it.
He was relatively unsighted in the trial against Manly, wasn't he?
100%. Yeah, I didn't notice him at all.
Yeah, nothing good, nothing bad. He was just like there.
I definitely think he'll get a lot better as he gets used to the NRL. Obviously, it's quite a step up from
first the game, Super League. Yeah, or second game. So.
Yeah.
Who else are we talking about? Stafford Toa got on for a little bit. Anyone take much notice? There was a lot of guys that came on late in the game for limited minutes who would be hard to kind of make an assessment on. The Peach, yeah, he didn't...
I think Peach looks still lost, Josh.
Yeah. He didn't,
a few bad passes. That's what worries me about him being the second dummy half. His service wasn't great. I mean, I think he's going to get that chance now that Lids has gone down. But I've got a lot of faith in Peach. I don't think he's going to be a great buy, but I just think he's going to take a bit more time settling in than I kind of anticipated.
Do you maybe put the shoddy passes down to the crap conditions?
No, you could.
Not for me. Mm. Not for, I don't know. Well, even if it is, like, can we afford it?
I think more so.
No, we really can't.
We had our fans whinging at Lids when he was throwing shoddy passes.
Yeah. Maybe it's what you said, Rob.
Thinking as well.
It's just getting used to your teammates. Like you just kind of learn how players run onto the ball and how quickly they run onto them and where they like it, sort of thing. So maybe, I mean, his passes were beyond, they were well off the mark. So. A little bit concerned. I mean, he's a professional rugby league player. To make a simple pass is kind of his job. So I don't think it'll be a trend. So
Did any of you guys think anyone played bad at all for us? Like a poor player, like a super poor player.
Aaron, have you got anyone in mind?
Honestly, not really. I think everyone kind of came on and. Did their bit. The young guys came on and pressed their case. We haven't mentioned Diaz yet, but I liked what he showed when he came on, and if he gets a run at some point during the season, he'll be pretty good for it.
What do you think of Cheese Mark too?
Rua.
Rua.
We'll learn his surname eventually.
He
Nagatoa or something, or Nuggets. I can't even.
So it's Nagataura.
Nagataura. Okay. Try and memorize that one.
Yeah. Well, we might. Yeah. You never know. It might be
like he was scheming.
Yeah. He just overdoes the dummy half running for mine. Like he's a bit of a hog. Like I know he's enthusiastic and all that, but he's just got to learn when to pass and when to run. I think he got caught twice on the last tackle. You know, going from dummy half, one of them which we earned a penalty from, but he's just got to take the blinkers off and have a look around him.
He was playing.
He also tried to go for the scoot from dummy half for the try in both trials. So if he does get a run,
he's trying to impress.
The opposition are going to be well aware of that.
It's a trial.
He might have cost himself a starting spot for the first round, seriously, because he does run really well. It's just a matter of he's just got to pick and choose his moments.
Yeah, I think it's too early. I think it's... It's going to be Simpkin that gets the nine. Looking at the errors, Kenny Momolo made three, Knopf made one, Gildart. So the backs kind of, but I mean, it was wet. So, but we won on the scoreboard. Doesn't matter. It's a trial. Doesn't matter that the Roosters are a little bit short. It was nice to kind of. All the talk from the Manly game the week before and all it's kind of balanced the ship out. Kind of reminds me, Aaron, are you a fan of The Simpsons? Can you back me up on this reference? Do you know The Simpsons well?
Yeah, I know The Simpsons pretty well.
So when Homer has Pinchy's, the lobster, he puts him in a fish tank and then the fish start to die. And so Lisa says lobsters need salt water. So he pours salt in and like, and he goes, hang on, still fine tuning. So eventually he has the fish kind of like half dead and the lobster half dead in the middle of the tank. That's kind of how it's balanced out. So we beat the Roosters. It was makes no sense to anyone who doesn't know The Simpsons. But my point is, the Manly the beating the Roosters kind of balanced out the loss, the bad loss to Manly. It was all a trial. We're on 0 points. We're all excited for round one. Excited to start doing these reviews as the year goes on. And in the next week, so obviously there's no game to preview this week, so we have a couple of special episodes lined up. I'll keep them a secret. I'll tell the guys in the Discord, and I'll put them up early on the Patreon. So if you want to join the boys, patreon.com/ Westlife, and a couple of bucks a month come to help support the show. And it's starting to really heat up in the Discord as a lot of good chat. It helps me a lot with this show too. You guys drop a lot of links and info and news. It's pretty much the first place I get it is from you guys in the Discord now. I don't have to Google much anymore. So, Aaron, thanks for being a late call up. You literally came on with 20 minutes notice. Big Shane is obviously, it's hard with him with work, doing late nights. Thanks for coming on the show again.
No worries, happy to help out.
And Rob, where else would you want to be late on a Monday night?
We won't go there.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but we'll leave it to the imagination of the listeners, and we'll see you guys again on Thursday. As always, go the Tigers.
Go the Tigers.
Go the Tigers.